Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I'm very happy to sit with you today. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair, which is fine, completely and totally fine. And if you sit in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. And as we get started, I want to continue our conversation about the Noble Eightfold Path, which we started, I think now it's 5 weeks ago. We're on step number six, so 6 weeks ago. You don't have to go back and listen to any of those, although you can if you want. I'll put links in this email. But the Noble Eightfold Path is considered the eight steps that you or I or anyone could take to attain liberation from suffering. So that would be awesome. There's tremendous suffering right now. And it can be hard to know, feel impossible even. What can I do? That's a really, obviously, probably the most important question you could ask today and on all days, but especially now. So it's easy to feel like I can't do anything, I'm one person. Or I'm doing everything I can, I should do more, or it's useless. Whatever thoughts we have that are calibrated towards the desired conclusion can feel onerous and heavy. There's another way to do it. We can take steps that are about what can I do right now? What can I do in this moment? What can I do in this situation, this conversation, this mood right now? So if we think, well, if I do this, that will happen, this will happen, then it'll never work, so forget it. I know that's understandable, but not useful. And it's easy to go, well, if I just try to be nice right now, that's not helping. Well, okay. That to me is, who knows? Maybe you're right, but you could try this and then you'll know. So the Eightfold Path says, well, actually, if you want to stop suffering for yourself and then for others, just do these eight things. So it breaks it down. I'm not saying these eight things are easy. But, oh, suddenly there's some definition and some sense of context and containment for my passionate, deep, terrifying, extraordinary, powerfully important longing to change the world for the better, for everyone. How do I do that? Well, start with these eight things. First, right view. See things clearly. Without that, you're just adding to confusion. Second, right intention. Keep remembering why you're doing this. Third, right speech. Use this mysterious capacity, whether in writing or orally or however-ly, to build bridges that support and strengthen and tear down when necessary. Right speech. Right livelihood. No, right action. Sorry. Meaning what you think it means. Don't do bad action. Don't do wrong action. Don't lie, don't steal, don't kill, and so on. But pay attention to the actions that you take, not just the words that you say. Five, which we covered last week, right livelihood. Do what you can every day in the course of your work life, whatever that work may be, employed, unemployed, we all have work to do. Enlist that in service of your longing for a sane world. And today we come to number six, which is right effort. Sounds a little bit like right action, but right action is don't be an ass, basically. Don't lie, don't kill, all the really, really important things that every wisdom tradition advises against. right effort is really, 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 really salient right now, because it means don't stop trying. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep exerting yourself. Don't hold back. Don't be silly. But if you think, well, what's, when you feel like giving up, when you think, what's the use? You know, that's totally, those are understandable thoughts. It's fine to back down and take care of yourself and go, okay, I need to get my right view back. I need to get my right intention back. Then I'll be able to have some right speech and some right action and so on. So I'm not saying just run yourself ragged. I hope you hear that. I'm saying marathon, not the sprint. So don't give up. One foot in front of the other. There'll be periods of great fatigue, periods where there are bursts of energy, periods where you think I might have gone off the path, periods where you're like, I see you and I'm going there. I see it. I'm not a marathon runner, but I assume that all of those phases happen in a marathon. That's the effort we're looking for. Steady, consistent, making macro and micro adjustments along the way so that you can keep going towards the goal, which is what? A sane world. You can do it. You can do it. Because you have built your energy store. You have built a reservoir of energy to fuel effort. Because you have taken the right view, you have employed the right intention, you have employed right speech, you have committed yourself to right action, and you are engaged in right livelihood. Doesn't mean you're, whatever it is you do, you're showing up with an open heart and a goodwill. That counts as right livelihood. Because you're doing all those things, trying to do all those things, committed to those things. Some days you can, some days you can't. Whoa, you have energy. So right effort doesn't just come from nowhere. The energy that fuels right effort doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from the previous five steps along the path. So I urge you not to take my word for this or anything. Examine yourself. Examine your what gives you energy and what depletes it. Examine your methods for combating what I call compassion fatigue, despair, downheartedness of any kind. Examine those methods. Do not punish yourself ever, but observe yourself, know yourself. And I'll close, because it just occurs to me, with something I learned about compassion fatigue, which I think I might have made that up, I don't know, but we all know what that is. You could have made it up too. So I'm tired of trying to be compassionate. So, because it's just, so once I asked Tara Brach, the great Vipassana teacher, wonderful human being, what do you tell your students, Tara Brach, who are experiencing compassion fatigue? And honestly, I thought she would reach into one of the sutras and pull out a teaching on right effort or look at one of the precepts, you know, don't know lying and so on. But she didn't say any of those things. Immediately, without hesitation, she said, I tell them Sangha. Sangha is the Sanskrit word for community. I tell them Sangha. And as soon as she said it, this was like 6 or 8 years ago, I was like, of course. When we don't have anything left, when we are like, when we feel like, I can't see one step ahead of me right now, really the only thing that helps, or the thing that helps the most immediately, more accurately, is other people. You are not alone. I'm right here. And to reconnect with the people who see as you see and feel as you feel, when nothing else can fill the tank, that can. It can. So, you know, I'm not saying this to, this sounds, I don't know. There is an Open Heart Project Sangha. And it is about 550 people right now who help each other, who connect regularly, who, the Sangha is a touch point for sanity and balance. And a place to learn and rejoice together and despair together. And I don't know, I'm just mentioning it in case you aren't aware. It's it'll be, I'll put information on how to join on this page. And I know that this is a time where money is an issue for many of us, and the Sangha costs money. So if that is an obstacle for you, please let me know and we'll see what we can figure out. Anyway, enough of that. Let's practice meditation, which is the foundation for every single thing, basically, I just said. So here we go. Begin your practice by establishing the posture from the ground up. The legs are crossed loosely in front of you, with one foot in front of the other rather than on top, if you're seated on the floor. Or if you're in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. Give your weight to the cushion or chair and imagine that from the waist down, you are rooted in earth. And from the waist up, there's a sense, a quality of upliftedness and aspiration and reaching for the light, like a tree. At the same time, you're just sitting there, so NBD, no big deal. The hands rest on the legs, palms down, and the hands just rest. They don't have to do anything right now. Sit up straight. Feel the strength of your back body. It's powerful. And feel the softness of your front body. It's sweet. So let the belly relax. The area around the heart. The throat. And let the shoulders relax. The chin is tucked a little bit, so it is level with the ground. So your neck is long. The mouth is closed because you don't have to say anything. So please enjoy the invitation into your own silence. It is quiet in there. There is nobody talking. So let your heart and mind mix with silence. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose. Just breathing normal. You know how to do that. The eyes are open and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front. Up to 6 feet or 2 meters or whatever is comfortable given the distance of your screen. And let there be a sense of receiving through the eyes rather than seeking or transmitting through the eyes. The eyes are receptive and soft. And the crown of the head reaches up a little bit. Now let your attention rest on the sensation of breath, meaning feel your body breathing, and let your attention mix with, rest on, be carried by the breath. So you feel a gentle expansion on the inhale and a dissolve, a letting go on the exhale. But it's just breathing at the same time. There's literally nothing we could do that is more ordinary than this, sitting and breathing. Period. So enjoy the ordinariness that is also somehow magical and transformational. Go figure. Your mind will continue to make thoughts. That's cool. That's what it does. It's not a problem. Please believe me. Most of your thoughts will just come and go on their own. They won't distract you overly. You don't have to do anything, nothing. However, at some point you may notice that you've become so absorbed in a line of thought that you don't have any more awareness of your breath. You've forgotten about it. No problem. Notice that. Label that thinking, because that's what you're doing. Let go. Just let go. Gently come back. You don't have to jerk yourself back or leap back or crawl back. Just come back and begin again with this in-breath and this out-breath. So we'll sit together. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together. I send you my love.